I apparently preached too long last week. I'm aware of this. Some people pointed this. Yeah, so I'm looking at the clock right there. And so, 10:55, I'm done. I'm just going to stop wherever I am. And that's all of the sermon that you're going to get. You know, it's great when we are able to come together as a church family and worship together and encourage one another and just be together as a community of followers, no matter what we're going through, what we're dealing with. It's always a great day to be together. I don't know about you. This has been a whirlwind of a year for me. And certainly for personal reasons, which I could talk for hours about that. But there's other things going on as well. I think on a cultural level, this has been a whirlwind of a year. And I find myself a lot of times looking around and wondering, what in the world is going on? Now, don't misunderstand me. Because I think when I make a statement like that, it would be really easy to assume, like, I'm making a statement about this set of issues or that set of issues or these things or whatever. I don't think, in our culture right now, I don't think it matters where you fall politically. I don't think it matters where you fall on the socioeconomic scale. I don't think it matters what your opinions are on this or that or whatever. It just seems like a turbulent time. I think everyone is asking the same sorts of questions. A little bit of a variation on it, but this same sort of question. I know I find myself asking this question a lot. I turn on the news and I find myself asking, how do I watch the news without losing my mind? Is anybody else there with me? And I don't, like I said, it doesn't matter what your views are. It doesn't matter whether you think it's real news or fake news. It doesn't matter. It's a turbulent time, and there's a lot of disagreement and things going on in our culture that we just kind of sit back and think, how do I process this without losing my mind? There's this general low-grade, I think, anxiety that's going on in our culture these days, from economics to the violence we see on the news to the discord and the tension between different groups of people, right? Between politics, whatever it may be. And if we're not careful, it can overwhelm us. And so then you can swing to the other spectrum, right? Because this is what we do a lot, I think, as Americans. We simply placate ourselves, right? It's why things like Netflix are so popular, right? It's just so addicting. You hit next, or you don't even have to hit next. You just, you know, let it play. This is the conversation that goes on our house a lot. We get done with an episode, and then it's kind of like, well, do you want to watch another episode? Well, I don't know. Do you want to watch another? I don't know. We go back and forth, and then before we know it, it's auto-playing the next episode, and we're both kind of like, well, I guess we got to watch it. It's on, right? We placate ourselves with those sorts of things. It's why we have a multi-million, probably multi-billion dollar industry centered around people who are famous simply because they're famous, telling us things about famous people that, frankly, we really don't need to know. Right? Because we like to be distracted from what's really going on. It's why entertainment is such a big industry. It's why we seek out so many different avenues to keep us busy and to keep us occupied. Are you with me here? Am I the only one that feels this? No? Good? Okay. All right. Just making sure. Because it's a daily struggle. It really feels like it. And in a word, I think we struggle with wisdom. We struggle with knowing how to interact with others. We struggle with how to know how to process things that are going on with culture, that are going on in our personal lives. We struggle with that, and it's this tension. And it's easy to think that this is something that is just because of the society that we live in. But this is nothing new. It's been going on for thousands and thousands of years. Scripture says this. When the time drew near for David, remember David is the king at this point. When the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. "I am about to go the way of all the earth," he said. "So be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me, all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel." David is essentially praying that his son would have wisdom. And if you're a parent, you get that, right? Like this idea of praying for wisdom for your kids. I get that. My daughter's only three, but wisdom and knowledge and discernment is something that we already pray for her. And there's something we say around our house a lot. We'll go, "Nora, is that a wise decision?" Right? And the answer is always no when we ask that question, just for the record. But it's like, "Nora, is sitting on the dog a wise decision? Nora, is standing on the back of the couch and trying to jump off a wise decision? Nora, is licking the floor really a wise decision?" I'm not making that one up, by the way. If you had a three-year-old, you get what's going on there. Right, like wise decisions are these things that we want our kids to make wise choices. We want them to make wise decisions. So David prays this prayer for his son. King David prays this prayer for his son Solomon. And then fast forward a little bit in the story, and we read this encounter that Solomon has with God. It goes like this. "That night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, 'Ask for whatever you want me to give you.' And so Solomon replied, 'Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?' God said to Solomon, 'Since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given to you.'" And then elsewhere it's said that this is true of Solomon. "God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East, and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, and his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He spoke about plant life." I think this is an interesting part of this, right? Like he wrote all these things, and then it goes into this. "He spoke about plant life, from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of walls. He also spoke about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. From all nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard his wisdom." To sum it up, Solomon's a pretty wise dude at this point, right? He kind of knows what he's talking about, and people sought him out because of his wisdom. And this is such a fascinating story to me, because Solomon can ask for whatever he wants, right? Like God gives him the open door. "Whatever you want, ask, and I will give it to you," And Solomon could have asked for riches. He could have asked for his kingdom to increase. You know, he is this new king. And he asks for wisdom. Because even though Solomon, we read later in the story, Solomon made mistakes, right? And he didn't live up to being the king that he should have been. He understood this. There's something about wisdom that is so central to all of life. There's this thing, wisdom, that is outside of himself. Right? It doesn't come from him. It comes from some other source. That's just below the surface that we've got to dig for, that we've got to find. I think he understood that wisdom affects every part of our lives. And I think he asks for it too, because frankly, sometimes it can seem so hard to get. Do you ever find yourself looking at, or maybe you look at yourself and you think that, and if so, then I'm in that boat with you too. But do you ever look at yourself, find yourself looking at someone and thinking, man, but that person is so smart. They're so successful. They seem to have it all together. They seem like their life is going well. Why did they tweet that? Why did they say that? Why did they do that thing? Right? And we can look at the lives of others and see that, but we can also look at our own lives and see that, right? And there's this disconnect there. Because we look at people and we go, but they seem like they have it all together. They seem smart. They seem successful. But wisdom is something deeper than just knowledge, just scoring well on an IQ test, than living up to standards that our world sets. Those things don't have much to do with wisdom. We're talking about something completely different. Something just below the surface, a gem that needs discovered. You know, the Old Testament talks a lot about wisdom, and it talks about this guy Solomon, but there are entire books that are written, right? There's the book of Proverbs, which is a book of wisdom, and then there's the book of Ecclesiastes, which is, I think, for people who have read the book of Proverbs and tried that route and gone, I don't feel like this wisdom thing is working out. Then there's the book of Ecclesiastes. And there's other wisdom sprinkled all throughout Scripture. But since we're talking about Solomon, Proverbs is a good place to start when we talk about wisdom, because many of the Proverbs were credited to him. And I love the way that the book of Proverbs talks about wisdom. Like, it starts off right from the beginning talking about wisdom. The word that shows up there is chokmah, which is a feminine word. Right? So this is when all the wives in the room can like elbow their husbands and be like, you know, Scripture says that wisdom is a woman. So go ahead, get that out of the way, elbow your husbands. But it talks about it as a woman, right? And I love this picture. It talks about wisdom crying out. We'll look at this up on the screen. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. It conjures up to me this image of this woman, wisdom, who is standing in all of this chaos and is this voice of reason crying out, seek me, find me. That's what wisdom does. So here's the interesting part, though. It's not just a woman who cries out. Scripture goes on and it says, it's a woman who will mock you, right? Which is kind of weird, right? Like, wisdom mocks me? That seems a little heartless. Well, no, I don't think that's what it's saying. Have you ever had that experience? where you've done something that you maybe thought was the right decision, and then you looked back and you thought, whew, that was bad. Right? And you had playing in the back of your mind this, you know, the better decision would have... Did you say you never had that experience? Not since yesterday. Okay. I was going to say, Mitch is up here saying, I've never had that experience. Not me. I'm talking about someone else. But you know, you have that thing playing in the back of your mind. And it's this nagging feeling of, I should have made that other decision, right? Now, look, I was thinking about this, and this is not a major decision that I made, but it's one that I think I understood this whole mocking thing. So we had this place I grew up in Fort Scott, Kansas, and we had open lunch in high school, and so we could go off campus and we could go eat. We had this place called Taco Tico. Is Taco Tico still open? By the way, no. It is. It is. It's not still open. Okay, in Fort Scott, it's not still open. It may be open other places. There's a reason why Taco Tico is not open. There's like Taco Bell, and then like here was Taco Tico, right? Like it was. So, but here's a great thing. When you're a high school student and your parents hand you, you know, at the beginning of the week, X amount of dollars for lunch, I see that Taco Tico is running a special. $2 for $1, two bean and cheese burritos for $1. Fantastic, right? And so in my brain, because I was a high schooler, I knew everything. I went, you know what? If I eat bean and cheese burritos for 2 weeks for lunch, this is a fantastic idea, because do you know how much money I'll save? Some of you are looking at me like, dude, you messed that one up big time. Let's just say wisdom mocked me later on down the road, right? This is the experience that I'm talking about, right? This is the experience that when you make this decision and then you go, oh no, this was terrible. That is what is meant by wisdom mocks you, I believe. Because hindsight is 20/20, and in retrospect we realize how we missed the mark. Listen to what the next verses and later on in Proverbs say about the pursuit of wisdom. If you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, and if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. And let's be really clear here. Wisdom is not something that we just come across naturally, right? That we're just going about our life and, oh, there's wisdom. Like it just fell into my lap. I think God gives us all the capacity to have wisdom. Don't get me wrong. But it's something that we have to search for. It's something that we have to seek. And while we have the capacity, the ability, the wisdom comes from God. There's no true wisdom apart from God. And when we talk about this pursuit, we're not talking about finding the next best thing, right? Like you're somehow going to discover something that's great and new and wonderful and this secret of the world that no one ever has ever. Whatever. Yeah, that wasn't a wise that no one has ever sought, right? No one has ever found, because it's been there since the beginning. It originated with God. Proverbs says this: the Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open. and the clouds dropped down the dew. So rather than finding something new, right, wisdom, searching out, seeking out wisdom is not about finding something new. It's about finding something old. It's about finding something that's always been there, that's always been just below the surface. It's like a gem that we need to seek out and find. Something that's been there the whole time. It's about aligning ourselves with this thing that has existed since the creation of the world. Here's the thing about seeking wisdom, and this is the part that I don't like, just for the record. It's pretty mundane. It's a pretty boring thing. It's not exciting. It's at least on the surface. It's not this thrilling thing that, all right, I'm going to go seek wisdom, right? Because Proverbs use these sorts of words: discipline, instruction, prudence, discretion, reproof, discipline, counsel. Let me keep going. These are not fun words. And yet, once we've tasted what wisdom has to offer, you can't go back. Right? Like once God has revealed to you what wisdom is and what it means to live as a wise person, you can't just go back to the way that you were before. You've tasted and you've seen that the Lord is good. And all of a sudden that other stuff doesn't really look so appetizing. Proverbs goes on and it says this: blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Wisdom plays the long game. Right? Like if you want the quick dollar, if you want the quick thrill, if whatever it may be, don't make wise decisions. I let's just be honest here. Wise decisions are not self-gratification. But wise decisions, here's the interesting thing. Making wise decisions, aligning your life with God and living by His wisdom, 25 years, 30 years, 40 years down the road, gives you the life that everyone ultimately is seeking. Do you see what I'm saying here? Do you see where I'm going? Wisdom is in it for the long haul. So, I mean, I've told you, I think, enough about, hopefully I've convinced you that this whole wisdom thing is something that we ought to seek. So you ought to have the question in your mind, well, that's fantastic. How do I get wisdom? It's legitimate. Well, ask. I don't know how else to tell you other than that. Ask for wisdom. It's what Solomon did. It's what we're told in the New Testament by James to do. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. There's not a lot of things in Scripture that it said, if you ask for this, God will give it to you. Wisdom is one of those things. Here's another amazing thing about wisdom and about asking for wisdom. There's no ceiling on wisdom. Right? Like when you take a test, when you're testing IQ, there's only so high you can go. Right? Like it's not like you can just come up with knowledge out of thin air and somehow keep increasing this. But wisdom has no ceiling. Right? We read the life of Solomon and we read about him becoming more and more and more wise. It had nothing to do with him. It had everything to do with God. But it was because he sought wisdom. He sought it out like a gem, like silver. And it doesn't matter if you go, yeah, but I've really messed things up a lot. Or I'm really not that smart. I really don't ever make good decisions? Well, fantastic. None of us ever do, right? We're all in this same boat together. And that is where the search for wisdom begins. By going, I'm really not that wise. I really don't make that great of decisions. I really don't have my life all figured out. Proverbs 9 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." So how do we get wisdom? We ask for it. How do we seek wisdom? We fear the Lord. And this whole concept of the fear of the Lord is one that is so interesting, and there's so much to say on it. But what fearing the Lord involves is it's this deep, profound respect for life and a profound, holy, trembling respect and awe of the one who can give you that life that you can never give yourself. Right? We try to downplay the fear of the Lord. We try to act like it's just, you know, having a good respect. Well, I read through Scripture and I read about people meeting the Lord face to face and fearing the Lord. They look terrified because they have encountered God and they have seen how awesome and how amazing and how mighty it is. And it's interesting. You know what happens right after that? There's peace that comes. There's this revelation that, oh my goodness, this is God and I am not. He is powerful and I am not. And then there's a peace that comes through that. Fear the Lord is realizing that my bloated ego gets in the way all the time. And I've made a mess of things. And the first step is to recognize God for who He is. So how do we seek wisdom? Start with Jesus. Start at the cross. Last week, we talked about this. We talked about how at the foot of the cross, we all come to the foot of the cross in exactly the same way. Exactly the same level, with exactly the same need. A people in need of a Savior. So you want wisdom? You want to know how to turn on the news and not lose your mind? You want to know how to deal with all of the personal junk that's going on in your life? Seek Jesus. Ask Him for wisdom, because He gives freely to all who seek wisdom. And that, my friends, is where wisdom comes from.